Happy Monday. Welcome back to Broker's Corner. Welcome back, Joe.
Wow. Yeah, we could say this every episode, but episode six, gracious day, are we going to episode 63? You know, but no, it's, yeah, welcome. You know, what a great start to the week.
Yes.
You know, back in Nashville again, you know, I keep wondering, spending all this time up in Nashville, am I going to get that twang? You know, I'm going to get that, you know?
You might. He's up here every single week.
Oh,
so
gosh, dang.
There's a possibility, yeah, for sure.
You know, walking down Broadway and, you know, just to get my steps in, right, at night, typically after dinner, I'll take a walk around Broadway.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I do.
That's awesome.
But yeah, just listen.
You go to dinner by yourself?
You know, I do. I do. But I'm a creature of habit. So I end up going to the
same places.
I do. I go to the Corner Pub, you know, shout out to the Corner Pub right here in Nashville. And I get the chicken Caesar salad grilled, and I get an order of tater tots.
Oh,
because
a little bit of balance,
you know, but I'm a creature of habit. Then I'll do that walk around Broadway and I mean, you know, and I do play guitar.
Oh yeah,
I do. Yeah,
you bring it with you?
Well, it's an air guitar, so it travels really, really light, but. So
I was not expecting that one.
So between playing the air guitar and singing solo, can't nobody hear me. You know, I got quite a lot of talents here. So
I love it. Such a great night routine.
Yeah, that is. So
okay, wow. So today we have for you four important mistakes within a broker's agency that can cost them money. So obviously as a broker, you like making money. We're going to tell you some mistakes that other brokers have made that have not been as efficient. So we're very excited.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk. It's a great topic.
Broker's Corner is brought to you by Bernie Portal, the Ben Admin Plus all-in-one solution that will help you invest, grow, and protect your small group book and increase overall agency valuation. Welcome back.
Yeah. I tell you, I mean, obviously coming in episode six, if you have missed episode 1 through 5, how can they get it?
You just go back in the episodes and they're all there. We've had 5 great episodes, one with our CEO, Alex Tolbert. We're going to have some more exciting interviews coming up in March. So stay tuned for those as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, you know, again, it's so important at the top of every episode, we talk to brokers. Brokers, this is about you, right? 2024 is bringing increased competition to the BORs of your small groups, right? Is your agency set up for success? And when I talk about success is sustainable success, right? I mean, if you're looking to grow your agency, right, over the next X years, you know, or you have a transition plan, right? I mean, sustainable success. And when I talk about that, it's really success that permeates through your business operations, your support staff, and even down to your small group clients. Do your clients see and feel that success in your agency's engagements with them, right? Do you have a staff that feels empowered and rewarded? Are you leveraging available technology for all your small groups? The new competitive landscape for you, the broker. For you, the broker means you want to make sure your agency is operating with these questions answered. And I'm so excited to kind of break these four down with you, Mary.
Yeah, so the first mistake we have outlined for you here, a clear customer support transition plan. So traditionally, brokers think that their clients are their clients because of them. Because, oh, we have such a great relationship. This is my client and they would never part from me.
Yeah.
The truth is the client just wants their problem solved.
Yeah. Yeah.
So whenever you make that whenever you build your book of business, there is a certain point when those smaller clients need to be transitioned over to someone else.
Well, I mean, it goes back to, we open up sustainable. You got to have something that's sustainable. And if you're, you know, an agency that is aggressively growing your small group book, it's not sustainable for you as the broker, you know, to continue to kind of be down in that support strategy. Let me tell you a story real quick here. So I have an excellent insurance agent. I've had, she's been my insurance agent now for 18 years. I mean, has everything I have insured, right? I remember when I could pick up the phone at any point and call her, she'd pick up the phone. Mm-hmm. I would email her at night with questions. Boom, she'd get back to me, right? You know, as years went on, as me being a customer, her agency grew, it was harder for her to do that, right? And I could see for her, because, you know, we had really gotten to have a great relationship, that it pained her to that she couldn't get back to me as quickly, mm-hmm. right? So what she did, and I didn't ask her to do it, she said, hey, Joe, you know, we're growing. I've got a great support staff. Love to make an introduction to that support mm-hmm. staff. And guess what? They do a great job. I don't have to talk to her. I have a great relationship with her. And I'll say hi to her if I stop in the office, which I don't stop in the office much. But again, you know, I can call in there and a member of her support staff is there for me and answers every question I have. I don't have to feel like, hey, I need to go back and go over her head. So, you know, that's the right way to do it. You know, if you're an agent, whether it's an insurance agent, right, a benefits broker, right?
And your problems were still probably solved with this new person, right?
Completely. I have not, I mean, this has been years now where I've dealt mm-hmm. with the staff. And I've not one time had to say, well, you know what, now I need to go back and, you know, and talk to my agent about that. Or no, I mean, again, I mean, I think it's all about, you know, how you... you know, train and empower your personnel. But that's a great story. And our agency is growing. I mean, it is really growing. So, you know, I think that's the one thing too, when you look at, you know, this service strategy that exists in a lot of brokerages where the broker is kind of that unspoken point of contact, right? And it's oftentimes not clear, you know, the service strategy after the group goes live. So, you know, they really truly never get passed off to the, you know, to the support team. You know, they're always trying to, you know, go back and talk to the broker, and the broker, you know, I've got to talk to them. I mean, it's my group, right? So,
yeah. And at the end of the day, I feel like you're going to get better service with someone that, you know, doesn't have all this stuff on your plate. So obviously they want to pass you off before, you know, things kind of aren't going as amazing as they were because they don't have the time anymore.
Yeah. I mean, that's why the support team is there. They've got that time to offer that strategic level of service, right? I mean, you know, if you're a broker with a growing agency, you know, you're out there finding new business. You know, you're out there, you know, obviously there's that initial period, right, when you bring on a new client, right, that you've got to make sure that transition is going well. So not only do you have prospective business you're looking at, but new business you're implementing, and, you know, you've got a lot of other things in your agency. You've got to worry about running your agency mm-hmm. in general, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that support staff, you know, it is really strategic, and they want to feel empowered. Right. They want to feel empowered and stay involved. Right. I mean, that's a big thing. You know, if you're hiring folks that are helping you do that, you know, people want to feel invested. Right. Mm-hmm. If they feel like, wow, I'm a part of something big, something special. Right. I mean, that's what gives people the encouragement to kind of come into work and drive to that success.
Yeah. And I think wording that to the client, like, oh, yep, giving this person a promotion, they're going to be taking care of you now. And I'm sure then the client's going to be like, great, what does that mean? And, you know, as long as their needs are being met and they're solving their problems just the same, the client is not going to be mad. They're not going to jump ship. They're not going to, you're not going to lose them.
No, you mentioned something a few minutes in that the group really doesn't care who serves them. They just want their problems. They just want answers.
100%.
Right. And most of the time, if you think about it, when you've got a challenge or an issue and you're reaching out to, whether it's your broker, whether it's your mortgage company, I mean, from, you know, if you talk about being a consumer, it's not always that they've got the answer at that immediate moment. It's the response time, right? It's how quickly are they picking up the phone? How quickly are they returning a call? right? And you think about a busy broker, you know, it could take the next day. It could take hours, where the support staff could be 30 minutes, an hour, you know? So that makes a big difference too, just response time. Then it's obviously, hey, how can you solve my problem?
The next mistake that brokers can make that would lose them money is missing incentives. There's no variable compensation component for the customer support staff and others in the business. So if you think about variable compensation, there needs to be a little bit of levels when it comes to how many clients of yours that they are supporting. So if you start off, you have, you know, five clients they're supporting, and you pay them the same as when they're supporting 20, that gets to be a lot of work for the same pay.
I think about variable compensation, right? And even outside of, let me kind of take it outside of the broker here real quick. I remember, this is one of those stories, I'm going back to 1997. My first job in sales was selling shoes at Sears. In my high school yearbook. We'll have to take a picture. We'll have to take a picture of the photo, but it shows, it says Joe Doyle studiously prepares a sales pitch. I'm in a tie in Sears looking at a sales report. But the reason why I tell you is, gosh, I think I was making $4.50 an hour selling shoes, right? And there was no commission there. But there was a variable compensation component to it.
And it was
I got $5 for every credit card application I got someone to fill out.
Okay.
So
like a Sears credit card?
Yes. So obviously I filled one out because I wanted $5, but listen, as crude as that sounds, that was variable compensation. And man, my goal was to get 5 to 6 a week. That was working another 6 hours, 7 hours.
Yeah.
So, you know,
giving more incentives to your workers. Yeah.
Yes. Compensation for employees, if you think about in a growing brokerage, should grow with the business. Mm-hmm. You know, how much, think about the investment, the ownership that your staff would take if they had a compensation plan that said, hey, retaining this customer, these customers in this book means X at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Growing these customers by adding a line of coverage means X. You know, you talk about SLAs, service level agreements, right? If we, you know, maintain a 90% answer rate, I worked for a software company that we had a three ring SLA that we would answer within the first three rings. And we had 92%. Things like that around service tied to variable compensation. Man, you're talking about an employee that is motivated.
Yeah, and your clients are like, wow, they have really good service. So if you're giving your workers that type of incentive, they're going to do well, and then your clients are going to be impressed with that service.
Yeah, I mean, you think about, you spoke about that, you know, flat rates, just the kind of the base salary only that, you know, maybe goes up 3%, you know, cost of living. It doesn't give your employees skin in the game.
Yeah, and then you're going to lose your employees.
Yeah,
so
because
you want to keep them in it.
Yeah, I mean, because you think about it, say you're paying, you know, you're paying a staff member $60,000, which is a good wage. It's a good wage, but there's no variable component there, right? And they're coming in at 7:30 and they're still there at 6:30, and you know, and they're just so dedicated on and really working with those customers and driving hard for the business, and they're noticed by another agency. And that agency says, you know what, I'll pay you $70,000. $10,000, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
Especially if that other company is going to be like, okay, you're only going to be working 8 to 5. You're not going to be working these 11-hour days, but you're going to be getting paid more because things are managed a little better.
Don't walk over dollars to save pennies. Don't. That's foolish.
The next mistake that a broker can make is not getting all of your small groups digitized.
You know, and we, you know, talking to brokers a lot, right? I think the biggest thing is the response to, if you're typical broker, 70, 80 groups, small groups, you'll see where there is 10, 20, 25% of those are not digitized. And why is that? One thing you'll hear is, well, there's a couple of things. Well, it's not profitable, right? It's, I've got a 10, 20 life group. It's not profitable, to do that because I got to go build it. I got to go build the group. And we've talked about that. If you really need to listen to, some episodes where we talked about, building groups and the challenges of doing that within a growing agency. But, you think about the time it takes to do that. You also think about, too, the employer not having the consultation and training to understand that, to understand, hey, the value of having their employees, fill their benefits out online. Even your smallest groups, you think about it, under 50 life groups, there shouldn't be anybody that's not digitized. It's really not. Because I think if you look at the HR processes, even in the smallest of employers, they're utilizing technology.
Yeah, and if you look at it from a money standpoint, if they're digitized, you're going to be able to grow your business so much more, because everything is so much more automatic. There's so much less work on your plate by doing this. And so that's the saving money component, is you're going to be able to grow your business and make even more money than you were able to before.
It's because it's a win. It's a win-win for you. Mm-hmm. You think about a 10 or 15 life group, right? My gosh, we've talked about in previous episodes, very, very hard for them to compete on a salary with 1,000 employee, 5,000 employee yeah. company, right? It's mm-hmm. benefits, right? So, to even those small groups that say, we're just not good on technology and, mm-hmm. To be able to tell that group, listen, how much easier it would be to offer a bigger benefits package, 6 to 7 lines of coverage, if we can get that digitized. Mm-hmm. And your employees can do it. Your small group employees can do it because they're doing stuff on their phones, right? Brokers, you can be a technology leader, with those groups, not on a platform, right? And think about how you can help solve small group HR challenges. And you mentioned it, more lines of coverage drives agency value. Your agency value, right, is, you think about when a broker thinks about agency value, it's right about how much money can I make, right? How much money, and that is it. But there is value in retention, retaining customers, right, too. Mm-hmm. So, when you think about, mistakes, every small group should be digitized. And then you will see an uptick in voluntary benefits. You also will see client retention as well, too, which is a big part of agency valuation.
And you'll make your life easier.
Very much.
The last common mistake made by a broker is not being proactive in decisions around technology and service, meaning they don't ask their clients enough questions. They don't dig deeper and understand their small group's pain points. And this is really important because at the end of the day, you're there for your client and you need to be asking these questions if you want to keep them.
It is a paradigm shift. This is different. Brokers, this is different. And if you think about how you can be different, and I think if we're as a business owner, right, and I would even say a broker is a sales professional, mm-hmm. right? Consultative sales professional. How can you be different, right? Shift in your paradigm, because it's not just about the challenges of your small groups is not just Ben Admin, right? It's not. Your BOR needs more than just a relationship tied to a single HR process. Why? The rise of all-in-one technologies, right? Your small groups, we've referred to them, and you'll hear us, right? Because we do have something we call HR Party One, right? Where we talk to, small group HR. But those HR parties of one have so many unresolved challenges when it comes to talent acquisition and talent management, right? And brokers, the way it's been is, you know, really, I'm only kind of here for the ben admin, right? That's kind of that's all I can influence. That's wrong. Mm-hmm. You can influence far more around talent acquisition, talent management. Imagine something. Imagine how you would stand out with your small groups with a more consultative strategy. You know, could you imagine, you know, coming into a small group and say you're mayor, say you're a small group HR, and I come in and say, you know, hey, how is recruiting? How's your recruitment process going today?
It's actually like pretty tough.
Why is that?
I feel like we're not competing with other companies that well.
Huh. You know, and then I would say something, tell me more about that. Mm-hmm. Tell me more about that. You know, and you know, as you started telling me some of those recruitment challenges, you know, I'm understanding that, wow, there's really no applicant tracking system. You know, everything's being done through manual collection of applications, right? You know, or if I said, hey, you know, when you look at, you know, your payroll process, you know, how is that going? Oh gosh, you know, you would say, hey, maybe I've got some challenges there. You know, again, that's different. You don't have brokers doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And think about the value. Hey, wow, they really care about that.
Yeah.
You know, and how consultative that is. But why have brokers typically not done that? Because they had no influence. They could only ask a question. But let me tell you something, you know, as we kind of start to begin to kind of wrap this, your competitors are bringing that consultative approach along with a solution, right? So, you know, the benefits administration piece, and, you know, you go back up to our first point where you're talking, well, I got a good relationship. But at the end of the day, it's business. And, you know, HR never goes out and looks at, hey, I'm, you know, typically if there's a, you know, if you're operating a good relationship with HR, they're not typically going and changing their broker, typically, mm-hmm. right? But if they've got another problem in another area, payroll, you know, applicant tracking or something that's not being solved, you've got competitors that are coming in with these solutions that include Ben Admin. And then it's just business. And that's scary, but there's hope. You can be that consultative resource, but you got to be able to dig deeper, and you really have to have a paradigm shift. It has to be a paradigm shift.
So to recap, the four common, most important mistakes within a broker's agency that can cost them money: a clear customer support transition plan, yep. Missing incentives, no variable compensation, not getting all your small groups digitized, and not being proactive and asking questions.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a good summary. And all of this ties back into agency valuation, your agency. You know, the money you make in your agency is not just about acquiring new clients. It's about retaining and growing your existing clients, right? And brokers, this is the new competitive landscape. It is. You know, you all, and again, I like to reference things we talked about, you know, in a previous episode. Remember we talked about the sphere of influence? We talked mm-hmm. about the sphere of influence. Your sphere of influence has grown and can grow dramatically with your small groups, right? But it's about the technology solution that you have, right? And it's about a paradigm shift and understanding, you know, really how much more consultative and important you can be with your small groups, right? You need to think and act differently in how your agency operates, how your staff thinks, how they serve, and how your clients view your agency, right? We talked about, last week, we talked about a service and technology strategy in our last episode. If you missed it, go back and listen to that, right? There were a lot of really good points. But these four points we talked about today, you know, four misses, I call them misses, mistakes, right? You know, whether all of these or some of these are missing, are having an impact on executing that strategy. A BOR based mainly on the relationship you, the broker, has with that small group, or in some cases, you know, the HR party one, is only business. It's business.
That was a great episode. We're going to wrap it up. Whew. We would love to see you at Weekdays with Bernie. It's our annual broker conference in Nashville, Tennessee, April 8th through the 10th. So if you want to come on over and maybe inherit some Southern twang, we would love to have you there.
We'll go. We'll take a stroll down Broadway, and I will sing solo and play my air guitar. Yeah, that was fantastic.
We would love to see you there. And if you would like to purchase a ticket, you can get 20% off with the code BrokersCorner20, capital B, capital C. And yeah, we would love to see you there.